I thank you that your word is life to those who find it. And your word is health and healing to our flesh. Father, as we open your word today, I pray, Father, for divine wisdom to flow, revelation and understanding to come in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that the word of God will grow deep roots within our hearts. Hallelujah. We give you the praise and glory for it, Father. All of God's people said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So yeah, amen. We talked about positioning ourselves last week, and there was a lot in there. I was glad I was able to get it done because there was so much going on, so much involved in that message. And it's not done per se. I could probably preach on that for a month. But I know God wanted me to move on to something, because once we get ourselves in the right position, we can begin to do something. We can begin to set some goals once we get in the right position. See, when you're out of position, how are you going to set any goals? When you're not in the right place, how can you, I'm going to do this. You can't say I'm going to do this when all the things that are coming against you, you've been trying to do, are not working. Right? So we got to step back, right? So I want to talk to us about, once we now are in the right position and we find out where that position is by the Father. Amen. It's easy to see when you're out of position, when you're in sin. That's simple. But when it's something you can't visibly see, it makes it harder. When it's just not obvious, right? It makes it harder. You know, a lot of people don't realize that they're walking in unforgiveness with somebody until they see that person. And then they're like, you know. Or instead of saying hi and eye contact, they walk and do this so they don't see him, don't want to have to say anything. You don't really realize you're maybe walking in bitterness or unforgiveness with somebody until, oh, I remember that person. I remember what that person did to me. See, we're remembering what they did to us. We got to remember it's the enemy. It's always the enemy. It's not the person. Right. You know, if it was the person, God would have wiped us all out a long time ago, like he did with the flood. Yes. Amen. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came because we could not do it on our own. We couldn't keep all the rules and regulations. We couldn't wash our hands before and during and after. We couldn't do every rule that was there. We would fail. And God knew it. He knew we would miss the mark. So he sent his son. So, with saying all that to say that it's time that now we are in the right position, we need to start setting our goals. I would say if you're going to set goals, set some easy ones. Something that you can, with God's help, of course, that you can complete. It could be the simplest thing is, you know what, I'm going to pray every day for 10 minutes. I mean, I can at least give God 10 minutes. I talk on the phone for 10 minutes. So I can at least give God 10 minutes, right? Set that kind of a goal. Just a simple 10 minutes. You'll find that once you've been doing it for a certain amount of time, that 10 minutes will turn into 20, into 30. And then an hour will pass and you'll not even realize I've been spending an hour with the Lord and I didn't even know it. That's how awesome his presence is when you're there. Amen. It's just, oh, this is great. And you just don't want to leave. Amen. So let's look at Habakkuk. I love trying to say that. Chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2, this is where he talks about vision. He talks about vision here. And in chapter 2, in verse 2, he says this. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Write the what? The vision. Write the vision. Write it. Write it down. Write it. Write the vision and make it plain on tablets. Make it simple. Write the vision. Don't complicate it. Just write the vision. Don't add to it. Don't take away. Just write the vision. Write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Oh, there's so much right here. Yeah. Now, first of all, let's look at the word vision. The word vision in the Webster is a sense of sight. Vision, a sense of sight. Unusual or supernatural perception. Isn't that good? Unusual or supernatural perception. Where do we get our plan from? God Almighty. This is where we get our vision. When it's a plan that is from God, the Bible tells us man cannot overthrow it when it's from God. So that's where we've got to get our plan, our vision, right? Our dream, our goal. Write the vision down Make it plain on tablets. Make it plain. Write it down. Keep it simple, right? So that who reads it can run with it. So if I decide, it's something my dad taught me a long time ago. When you do your outline that you're going to do to preach the word, when you do your outline, if someone else was to pick up that outline, could they preach it just like you would do? Can they understand it? Yeah, absolutely. Why? Because you made it plain. You made it plain. See, and this is what he's saying. You've got to make it plain. They've got to understand it. And that's what my dad said. He said, you make it simple. He said, you have a point, and then you have a point A, and always a point B following. And that's it. You don't need a point C, D, and E, F, and F, G. You can if you want. But that's usually the Holy Ghost now kicking in. Right? He's got a lot of things he wants to say. But point A and point B, and if I have that, and I have the scripture heading, I can hand that to my wife, and she can run with it. Guaranteed. I know that if she does it, which we've had this already, she does it, I can run with it. Why? Because I know she's made it plain. And trust me, I'm not the smartest branch. But she made it plain enough for me to run with. And that's what he's talking about. So we take that vision, right? That unusual or supernatural perception that God has given us. He also says this in the Webster, a mental image produced by the imagination. Oh, wait a minute. Ephesians 3:20. I will do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. Imagine.
Yeah.
According to the power of the words. God can do over and above.
Yes.
What my little mind can even, woo, you know, comprehend, right? Because he is everything, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So if I'll just make it plain, then whoever reads it can run with it. Right? And he keeps it in there. He goes on. He says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Sometimes people ask, oh, God, why hasn't this happened yet? I know you told me to do this, but it's for an appointed time. When you set your goal, set it for an appointed time.
Amen.
When you decide you've positioned yourself, you're in the right place, right position, now set a time. Not a time on God. A time on when you want it accomplished, when you want it to be done. All right? Not a time on God now, because we're going to read, keep going, that it is for yet set appointed time, but at the end it will speak. In other words, if it's from God, it's a supernatural perception or vision, it will get done.
Yes.
It will get done. Then he goes on, though it tarries, now I love this, I love this, I love this. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Wait a minute. Now, hold on a second. He said, though it tarries, it will not tarry. You want to know what that means? You've set the time, but God has the appointed time. It doesn't tarry, even though you think it's tarrying. And you're like, oh, God, why hasn't this happened yet? Oh my God, oh Lord, oh man, I gotta have this done. God's plan doesn't tarry. It's got appointed time, and it's set by God, not by us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if you decide to set a big goal, a big dream, big imagination, right? Something huge. Girls of Hope.
Yep.
I like that. That's good. Set this dream and this vision. You know God has got it, placed it in your heart. And it is for an appointed time.
Yeah.
And you're all, why hasn't this happened yet? It feels like it's tarrying. It's not tarrying. It's for an appointed time.
Yeah.
So when we get that, Girls of Hope, we get the set time from God. Now, we were smart enough to not put a time frame on it.
Yeah.
Because we know God.
Yeah.
God wants to see if you're going to be faithful to what he's given you already.
That's right.
Hello.
Come on.
Right, God wants you faithful first.
Yes.
Not faithful last.
That's right.
Because then you're unfaithful.
That's right.
Not good.
That's what he
said. Not good with God, not good with the wife. Not good.
No.
So we don't do that kind of stuff, right? We stay faithful. He said, if you're faithful in the little things, God will give you much. You just got to be faithful in the little things. What's a little thing? God says give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. So God says what? Give. What do you do?
Give.
That's right.
Because why? It's a little thing. And it's something I can be faithful with. Why? Because I got possession of it. It's right here in my hand.
Yeah.
It's up to me to give if he said give.
That's right.
And by the way, thank you all for blessing me for my birthday.
Yay!
Wow, man. And the homemade cards, guys. Wow. That was super cool, man. I love it. Oh, man, that one with the clothespins just cracks me up. That's awesome. So, you are something else, that guy, I tell you. So praise God. But boy, I just lost train of thought. Anyway, I was so blessed when I got home and read those cards and the blessings you gave me. It was right on time. We needed it. So bless you so much. You're so awesome to me and Sue, and we love you. So I said give, right, because it's a little thing, and you have it in you. You know, if God says, hey, here you go. He says, God says, I want you to give your office keys to your wife.
Oh, my gosh.
I ain't doing it. She can't go to my office. I'll tell her what to do. You know, no. What do? We be obedient, and we say, okay, God said to give you these. Did I just be faithful in the little thing?
Yes, yes.
Very simple thing to do, right? Simple. Very simple. Okay. Amen. God wants me to love my wife. How simple is that?
Yeah, come on.
Because God says, husbands, what does he say? Husbands, love your wives. Wife.
Not somebody else, your wife.
Amen. There was a, well, this is on the end of that, and it's not supposed to be there. Wife. So God says, love your wife. Okay, all right now. It is easy because I married her and I love her anyway.
Yes, yes.
But there are times when I'm unlovable. When I could be a jerk. It's rare.
Yeah, but you do it up, right?
But I do it if I do it right. I do it right. Yeah. If I'm going to be a jerk, I jerk it all, man.
Right. Come on.
Right on. I'm going to be good at it if I'm going to do it, right? Amen. No. So, but God says love your wife. So how hard is it for me to love something I should already love?
Amen.
It's harder for me to love myself.
Oh, yeah.
Why? Because I know me.
Yeah.
I know me. I know when I missed the mark. I know I did that on purpose. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I got a bad.
So being faithful in those little things that God will make you ruler over much.
Yeah. Praise God.
We use that in finances because we all need finances.
Yeah.
It's a monetary system in this earth that we must use.
Yes.
Period. Plain and simple. God knows that. So if he says to give tithes and offerings to the house of God,
Yes.
we must do what?
Give
tithes and offerings. Bring them in. And what are they? They're called the first fruits. A tenth. Tenth portion. Tithe.
Yes.
Tithe. Tenth. But then you know what he says on top of that? Offerings.
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 Yeah.
Well, I offer up a praise.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. No, he wants you to dig in your pocket. Why? Because that's closer to your heart.
Wow.
See, it's a little harder to do that when you have to reach in your pocket and grab your last $20.
Ooh, yes, that's right.
When you know you ain't got nothing coming for four or five days. It's a little harder to get that dude out of there. Like, I can't get it out of there. Makes it harder. But if you think back on it for a minute, what's $20 going to do for you today?
Come on, that's right.
It ain't enough to do anything. Take the two, take the 20, and give it away where God says to give it, and watch a hundredfold return come in.
That's right.
Amen.
That's why not? It's $20. That's like not even 20 cents anymore, right? I mean, I don't even think it makes $2. You know, $20, what's that going to do? Can't even get you 3 gallons of gas. You know, it's crazy. So amen. So we just got to be faithful. I don't know why we're there, but let's be faithful in those little things. God will make a ruler of them much. And all right, so let's read on. It says, but at the end, it will speak and it will not tarry. It will not lie. It will not lie. It will speak. It will speak. That vision will speak and it will not lie. They will know it's God.
That's right.
You know, when I was a kid, wow, I'm on story time today. When I was a kid, my family was fasting. And gosh, I was in like second grade and we had an apartment, 2-story apartment. And I was up in my room and they were all fasting. I didn't like fasting. My metabolism was like pum, pum, all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I had to eat, but we as a family chose a fast.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm up in my room and I knew how to fast. My parents had taught me well. I'm second grade, but I know how to fast. You pray to the Lord. You talk to the Lord. You get from him. You don't da-da-da.
Right.
I'm up in my room. I'm praying. I'm like, man, I really want this to be over, Lord.
Yeah.
I said, I'm hungry. And I got some cheese crackers. And I did, and I cheated.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it. I cheated on the fast. I ate some cheese crackers.
Yeah, you never forget.
Underneath our stairs.
Yeah.
Out in the breezeway. I'll never forget it. Felt so guilty. It was the worst. I just can't forget it. I mean, it's like the worst thing in the world. I can't forget it. But anyway. But I prayed to the Lord, forgive me. And you know what he said to me? Verbally, in my ear, not in my spirit, I heard his voice. Why? At that age, it had to be, I had to know it was him.
Yes.
I think. And that's where I think that's why it was audible. He said three times, preach, preach, preach.
That's it?
That was it. That's all he said. Out of here. I think he booked out the room. He came flying through, preach, 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 boom, and then he was out. I came flying down the steps. Mom, mom, dad, dad, you know. Oh, I just heard God's voice. He said to preach, 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 you know, and I've been doing that ever since.
That's right.
I started with the neighborhood.
Yes.
I brought, I think I had 11 kids in my room one day, and we played the Gospel Road album. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. It is amazing. It was anointed. But it you heard the crucifixion of Christ in it, and it was so touching, right? And I got all 11 of these kids up there bawling. Crying in my room. So I go downstairs and say, Mom, they're ready. Go get them. You know. We were a tag team, you know. I mean, I'd bring them in, she'd get them born again.
That's right.
That's how it worked, you know. Amen.
Right.
But my Lord, my God, gave me an audible command. He said, preach, preach, preach. So I've been faithful in it. Amen.
Yes.
And that's probably why where I am today.
Praise God.
We don't play around with the ministry, and we don't play around with the fivefold call.
Come on.
That's not something to play with.
That's right.
Never play with the call. Answer the call.
Amen.
But be called.
Be called, yeah.
Be called. That means you're in the position that you're supposed to be in. Though it tarries, wait for it.
Yeah.
Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. How? Surely.
Surely
come. And it will not tarry. It will be right on time, is what he is saying.
Yes.
It will be for the appointed time that God says.
Yes.
God has set it in motion. It will come to pass.
Yes.
So all you need to do now then is be faithful.
Faithful.
Now, when you write your vision down, be specific.
Yeah.
Remember, make it plain.
Amen.
But get specific.
Yes.
Okay? Get specific. Make a time frame. Make a time frame within God's eyes, his plan, right? Make sure it's from God. But be specific in it. Jot down details of that, of everything. Be certain of what you want. Be certain in your goal and what you're going to do. Be certain in it. Must first of all be certain that it's what God wants you to do.
Amen.
That's got to be first and foremost. And if you're not certain of that, pull off.
That's right.
Pull off. Same thing in business. I mean, you're going to contract with someone, partner up with someone. Be certain that you are to do so, that God wants you to do so, because it could break you financially.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen, and it is not a pretty sight. We've seen a lot of it happen sometimes in the world, and they kill themselves.
Yeah.
Thank God we don't do that, that our God forgives us and picks us up, dusts us off, and puts money in our pocket.
Yeah.
That's our God. And we can count on him for that. Amen. So be certain. Be constant and committed to it.
Yes.
You cannot waver. You cannot be like a wave tossed to and fro by the wind. You must be constant in it. Don't be, oh God, are you going to do this or not? God, I know you're going to do this for me. God bless you. Praise God. I thank you, Father, that it's done. Oh God, are you really going to do this for me? That's double-minded. Unstable in all your ways, the Bible says. Cannot do that. Why? We've got to be constant. When we're constant, we're steadfast.
Amen.
We're immovable.
That's right. Always about
when we're constant. But we've got to be constant. And don't think for one minute that the enemy is not going to come against you and try to get you off of it and make you inconsistent. He's going to come against you. Why? Because this is a plan of God. And every plan of God is a blessing for your life. Every outcome that God has for you is blessing.
That's right.
Not cursing.
That's right.
That's why he even told us. He says, look, I put life and death before you today.
Yes.
Blessing and cursing. Choose life.
Amen.
That you may live.
Amen.
So he gave us kind of a hint. Yep. Choose life. It's probably a smart way to go then.
Yes.
We should probably do that. You know, amen. You know, and so it's really kind of, God is kind of, it's a simple process with God. He says, we do. He says, and we do. We obey. We talked about this last week, didn't we? Being obedient. That's number one in being in the right position. Being obedient. And when God says, be here at this time, you must be here at that time. Or you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Hello.
Amen.
You know, Christians don't have any business playing around in the bars.
No way.
That's the wrong place at the wrong time. Things could happen. You're in the devil's domain.
Right, there you go.
That's his pastor right behind the bar there.
Yeah.
He's serving up his spirits.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Amen. And something bad could happen, but God is there to protect you.
That's right.
But if he said don't be there, you best not be there. If you're a missionary, but you're not called to Haiti, you best not go to Haiti. They'll chop your head off. Bill knows what I'm talking about. I remember being down there having them chasing us around. That wasn't fun. Don't dig it. Thank God I wasn't called to be a missionary.
Yeah.
I was called to help my church. We went down. I was down for a week. I was out of there. Bill stayed. Bye, Bill. Love you, Elder Bill. See you.
Yeah.
We pray for you.
Yeah.
Father, Son, Holy Ghost, whatever that is. But see, he was called. And that's for he is protected. And he was in position at the right place that God had him. That's why they could not touch him.
That's right. Amen.
And that's how important it is to know God's plan. That's how important it is to be obedient to God's plan. Because if he didn't go to Haiti where God told him to be, he'd be here. And that's in the wrong place at the wrong time.
That's right.
Anything could have taken place.
Amen.
That's why we put our trust in the Father.
Amen. That's right.
We trust in the Lord. We don't lean on our own understanding.
Amen.
You're like, but God. They're having civil war down there. You know they're having civil war down there? Hey, God. You know they're chopping white people's heads off down there? God. And you don't hear nothing. Because he already said what? Go. Ain't that what he said? He said go. He's not going to say, yeah, I know they're doing that, but here, let's have a conversation. He's not doing that.
No way. He has said.
God has already said, spoken, it is good. He's not changing his mind. He don't change his mind like he don't change his word.
Right.
Okay, you said go. Thank you, Father, I'm protected. I'm going.
Amen.
And that's just how it is. That's it. Just lay it out. Leave it be. Wow. I'm preaching a lot. All right. Let's do John chapter 18. John 18. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. John 18. Wait a minute. John 18:37. It says, Pilate answered, Pilate therefore said to him, talking to Jesus, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born. And for this cause I have come into the world that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Everyone who is of the truth hears the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are of the truth, ladies and gentlemen. We are believers. So we hear the voice. Now, we also know that there's scripture tells us that we hear the voice of the Lord and the voice of a stranger we will not follow.
That's right.
Amen. So we see here then, we must ask ourselves something. Jesus just said to him, you've said rightly. As a matter of fact, for this cause to be king, I was even born for it. I was born for it. The plan was set for me to be king, and that's why I'm here in this earth. That's why I was born. Can you say why you were born?
Yes.
I mean, think about that. Think about that. You know, when you know, and I know now why I was born. I was born to preach the gospel. To whether it be few or whether it be many. Doesn't matter to me. I have got to be in position.
Yeah, but it's a knockout.
Amen. Praise God. So what are you look at your plan now and your vision and ask yourself, why am I doing this? That's got to be asked. You've got to ask yourself. Why? Don't ask God, why am I doing this, God? If God said, do it. You don't need a why. And he don't ever tell you why. It's not a conversation you have with God. But why, God? Yeah. You know, if I said why to my parents, it was over with.
Well, it was over.
Oh, man. I couldn't get out to the house quick enough. No. But ask yourself then, why am I doing this? Okay, am I doing this for myself? Am I giving this blessing to this person for self-gratification so that someone else can see?
Wow.
Remember, we're supposed to bless people in silent, and there's your reward.
Yep, right. That's it.
Yeah.
Right.
What am I doing? Why am I doing this? Why am I writing this vision down? Why do I have this plan and this dream? Is it for me, or is it for the Lord? Mm-hmm. Now, don't think for 1 minute that God doesn't want you to have dreams and visions of your own. But guess who usually puts them there?
Yeah, right.
He does.
The Lord.
God. Yeah. He always puts them there. He always puts them there. So what we do is we ask, why am I doing this to ourselves? Am I doing this for the Lord? Or am I doing this out of my own? Greed?
Yeah.
Lust?
Yeah.
Right? Why am I buying this sports car? Ooh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Why am I buying this 1969 GTO, you know? Oh, man, because I want one, you know? But God wants me to have those things, too. He does. God wants me to be blessed. And he wants me to have the joys of my heart, too. But he also wants me to do what he's got me here in this earth to do. So why am I doing this? Ask myself that. What will be the end result? Will it bless people? What will be the end result? Will the gospel be preached? Will Jesus be glorified? Will God be magnified? Or will I be glorified? Why am I doing this? Right? What's my end result? Is it for blessings for others? You know, with Girls of Hope, it's a set dream that's been set in her heart, which has now attached itself to mine. And it had to be God to do that. You know, I'm not down with teenage girls and crying kids. But it's all good. It'll work out. I just won't be there very often. But anyway, praise God. But see, God put this Girls of Hope into her heart. She's got a million ideas of what the end result will be. Trust me. There's so many things that she has an idea of an end result, but it's not going to be God's. God's got an end result. He already knows what the end will be.
Yes.
It will be great.
Oh, yeah.
Small beginnings, but great endings, right? It will be wondrous. He will be glorified.
Oh, yeah.
As long as it's God's plan.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But our end result could be what we think is, wow, a Girls of Hope home on the north, south, east, and west of Columbus, and make it a 5-bedroom house in each, and then we'll have, this is our end result. See, this would be great. Why? Because it's a desire of our heart to do so. Amen. To bless these kids, right? Teach them and train them up. Get them blessed and sanctified and show them how to raise a child. Amen. Hey, because their parents probably didn't. I'm sorry. Or they may have only had a one-parent home, and that parent had to work. And I always don't blame everything on parents. Trust me. Kids are rotten. They'll get right in there sometimes, you know. And you've raised them right. Come on. You know, you've raised them right, but they'll come back. You got the scriptures that say so. So what is the end result? Must maintain a sense of destiny in this. We know this is a destiny that God has for her. I know that. And so we've got to maintain that sense of this is our destiny. This is why we're here. It's a part of the plan.
Yeah.
It's a part of the plan, right? But it's something that will come, just as the word said in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. At the end, it will come. It may tarry, but it's not tarrying. It'll be right on time. Plan for challenges. Always plan for challenges. Because guess what? Challenges are going to come. Whether you bring them on yourself or whether the enemy brings them on you. We bring challenges on ourselves because we do something we talked about last week. We put ourselves in the wrong position. It just happens. So we bring some things on ourselves. Okay, but God will set us free. God will deliver us. He'll pick us up, dust us off, fix you, right? And then he'll help you, right? Just like he did with Peter when he got out of the boat. I mean, come on, man. Peter was walking on the water. He knew you can't do that. But God said. So he did. And you know, until fear came, which that's what the enemy will do. He's going to challenge your faith by bringing fear. Well, if you say you're going to do that and you don't do it and it doesn't happen, you're going to look like an idiot. Don't think my parents didn't ever have that conversation. with all the things God has told them to do over the years. And they branched out and did by faith. God had to back them up, but they did it because God said so. But don't think that thought didn't come. Oh, man. Oh, that devil. He'll bring that one right to you. He's trying to attack you, challenge you with fear that it might not come to pass. Challenge you with fear that you're not strong enough to do it. Challenge you with fear that you don't have the finances to get it done. Right? He'll always bring challenges. So prepare for them. Prepare for them. Have scriptures ready when it comes to sickness and disease. And that challenge takes place. Have scriptures ready when it comes to finances that are going to be challenged. Have scriptures ready. I'm a tither, Father. I'm a giver. Right? Amen. And pull out Malachi chapter 3. Right? If I sow, I reap. I pull it out. Have scriptures ready. Right? Amen. So plan for these challenges. Prepare for the problems. And what I mean by that is be in preparation for it. Have the scriptures ready. Know that the challenge is going to come. It will come. Amen. Jesus was not above the challenges. Hallelujah. They came. He knew they were going to come. Why do you think he knew the word so well at age 12? Hallelujah. He studied to show himself approved unto his Father, a worker. Need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. He was rightly dividing himself.
Yes, yes.
Don't think Jesus didn't know himself.
Right. Oh yeah.
He knew himself very well. So amen. All right. Oh, this one's always good. Build in reserves. Build in reserves. I was talking to my wife. You know, you got to have a cushion. You got to have a financial cushion. You know, they say that the millennials today, that I think it's like 90, I forget the number, it's like 90-something percent, don't have the minimum of $500 in reserve if an emergency comes. They just say, whatever happens, happens. Hillary will bail me out. edit, click, click. Yeah, right? Somebody will bail me out. The government will bail me out, you know. Whatever, you know. I'll stand on the corner with a sign. Somebody will bail me out. All right, praise God. Amen. Yep. I got mom all the time.
Every time.
And then always remember this, and that you have to know this. Do you have what it takes? Do you have what it takes? Listen, I don't go play football now because I'm 49 years old. I don't have what it takes. Now, if I got a great line and nobody can ever touch me, man, I can throw the ball.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But if I get hit, I'm going down. And it's going to hurt my body. And I may not get back up. So I don't play football. Amen. Do I have what it takes? Well, do I have what it takes? When I was asked to take this church, I had to ask myself, do I have what it takes? Is this you, God? Because if it ain't you, I don't have what it takes.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Plain and simple. But if it is God, I have what it takes.
Amen.
And then I made sure I have what it takes by studying to show myself approved.
Amen. That's
right. I did what it took because I'm counting myself faithful in the little things. I do what it takes.
Amen.
But I don't get into things that I don't have what it takes.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
Don't go buy a car when you don't have the finances. You don't have what it takes. Why? They will come get the car.
Yes.
And you in trouble.
Yeah.
Credit goes down, right?
Black,
I mean, it's not cool. It's not good. And what does that do to your personal being, right? What does that do to your body, your heart, your mind? You feel like a failure.
Yeah.
You feel I failed. I didn't have what it took. The simplest thing of being able to budget for a car and I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. Oh, that hurts. That hurts the feelings, right? So do we have what it takes? And that is, we must have the Lord.
Amen.
In order to have what it takes, you must have God in it.
Yeah.
If you cannot see God in it, get out.
Yeah. Right.
If you can't see God, get out. Wowzers. All right. Relate everything to that time frame we talked about. Relate everything that's going on to that time frame that you set with God. Where am I now in my vision? Where am I now in this plan? Where am I now in this vision that I've written down? Where am I now? Where am I going? Where am I headed? Where am I now? And where am I headed? Am I where I should be? Or am I on the wrong path? Am I veering just... Listen, do you realize if you just veer just a little to the right, you'll never hit your destination. They say when you're out in the desert, not to walk anywhere, but to stay put. You know why? Because usually if you're right-handed, you walk stronger and you end up walking in a circle and you don't even know. You think you're going straight. You can even pick a point or a peak, but they find that you end up walking in a circle and you're way off course. So they say, stay put, stay put, pray for rain. But it's because you're stronger in one side of your body than your other, than your right or than your left, whether you be right-handed or left-handed. And that, because of that, you go to walk and sometimes you just kind of give a little. By the end of your time, you're way off course. So where am I now? Am I where I should be? Am I on the right path? Where am I going? Can I see it? Can I see it? Am I on the right path? Check my degrees, my latitude and longitude. Make sure that your vision is workable. Can you do this with just you and God? Yeah. You know, God usually really never asks you to do anything you can do by yourself.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
First of all, He has to be in it.
Amen.
But this is where we're, as men, we're taught humility. Why do you think He gave us a helper? Come on now.
That's right.
That's why I got a helper.
Yeah.
I've been taught humility. I can't do this on my own. Mm-hmm. Where I'm weak, she's strong.
Right.
Where she's weak, I'm strong. We work together and we have become, according to God, one.
One
flesh.
That's right.
Cannot be separated or else.
Amen.
Death is all that separates us.
Yes.
You heard that? So anyway... That's why this thing has to be workable with God and with her. God's not going to call me to go do something that she's not going to agree with or be involved in. Period. She will either say, honey, you better go back and pray. I'm not in agreement. I know you probably want to do that, but I don't think that's God. She'll say it like that. Right? But if it's God... She'll also have the call. She'll have that in here. Remember I talked about Girls of Hope. It's her dream and her vision, but it's attached itself to my heart.
Sweet.
I believe in it.
Yeah.
And I want to help.
Yeah.
It's important for me to help her get it done. That's why God calls us all together. I can't do this ministry without you. I can't. And you wouldn't be in the right place at the right time if I were not here. We're here for an appointed time.
Amen.
We're all here together for a reason.
Yes.
We are family.
Yes.
Knit together in unity and of one accord, speaking the same things, thinking the same things, knowing the same things.
Yes.
We're together.
Amen.
That's why we're family. We're family. You know, we are knit together by blood. But that blood's not relative blood. It's Jesus' blood.
Right. Yes, yes.
That's why we're knit together. We're of a one family. Amen. We became brothers and sisters.
Amen.
By and through that blood.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's more powerful than anything.
Hallelujah.
That's more powerful than anything. So I would say build your team. I've built my team. I'm building my team. Build your team in your plan.
Amen.
Who do you want around you?
Yes.
Who do you not want around you? Pray. Listen, my daddy taught me something a long time ago. He said, there's two ways to make money. You have money already that makes you money, or you have people that make you money.
Yeah.
There's the only two ways to make money. You either already have it and it's out there making it for you, or people are surrounded you and are helping you get it done.
Yeah.
So build your team. Build your team. And the way I build my team is I pray and ask God. God is this one part of the team. We don't just let anybody do our nursery.
No.
Nope. We pray. We ask God. We do background checks. Yeah. Any kind of speck and you out. Not that we don't love you, but you're not serving in that. No. Amen. What do we do? We ask God. We plan. We build our team around us. Then that team is the kind of team that will support us. Will lift us up. Will help us. Even if it costs them dearly, they'll do. Because they believe in you. And they believe in your vision. And what they've done is they've run with it now. They've taken it as their own. They've taken part of that vision, that dream. Yes. And now they're running with you. Amen. They're helping you get it done. So build your team. We got to stop. And now, if God said do it, put the plan in action. Put the plan in action. If God said, go. Put the plan in action. And what I always like to say is do the hard things first. Do the hard things first. You know why? Because once the hard things are done, you breezing by. You just start to breeze by. Just, enjoying the rest of your vision. The hard things are the things that you had to be a part of. But now the lighter things are the easier things your team can probably do for you. But those harder things you had to be involved in.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. Stand to your feet. I pray you got something out of this today. Hallelujah. Oh, lift your hands to the Lord. Let's be blessed. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this day. Thank you for your word, Father. Thank you for blessing us, Father. I praise you and I thank you, Father, that today we'll stand back and we'll make sure that you're a part of our plan. And we give you the glory and honor. And as we go this week, Father, I pray for your angels to be in charge over us, guarding and keeping us in all of our ways. And in our pathway, there is life and blessing. We praise you and we glorify you. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you all. Have a blessed week.
Awesome.